This hour of the Jason Rand Show is brought to you by You Build It. There is a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending in Seattle?
Teachers are going to vote in Seattle to approve or not approve or reject a contract proposal over the next couple to 3 hours. The vote is supposed to start within the next probably 45 minutes. Before then, as we heard from the president of the Seattle Education Association, they're going to debate the different aspects of the proposal. People are going to be able to ask questions. It's all happening right now at Benaroya Hall in downtown Seattle. Now, the big deal of all of this is a year after getting a 10.5% increase in pay, Seattle teachers will get 11.1%. That's the new increase over the course of the next 3 years, assuming they go ahead and say yes to this particular contract. They'll get that 5% raise first, and then it will be doled out in equal numbers over the course of the later 2 years. On top of that, they're going to get some tools, they say, for teachers to address, I guess, their virulent racism, because they all talk about how they want to tackle racial equity in the classroom, which is good. You should. If there are teachers who are acting out in a way that's treating African-American students or Latino students or Asian students differently than white students, you should probably address that. It does seem a little weird that you're going to go ahead and demand more money for teachers who are, you know, acting out in racist ways. We had the conversation earlier in the show. If you didn't get a chance to listen to it, you should download it on the podcast, because didn't have to yell, didn't have to get combative. I just had to ask some very simple questions before it becomes very clear that they don't want to take any responsibility for the data that's out there suggesting that there is, quote unquote, institutionalized racism. You see, they like to point to data of students of color are disproportionately impacted by suspensions and expulsions, right? They look at white kids, they have a higher likelihood of not getting suspended. If you look at young African Americans, particularly boys, and Latinos, they are at a higher likelihood of getting suspended or expelled. Well, who did that? It's the teachers. The teacher is the one who's choosing to kick the kid out of the class, right? Then it is the principal who is choosing to say, I'm going to suspend you or I'm going to expel you. And yet they take no responsibility whatsoever. They say, oh, we just don't have the tools to see our, you know, our implicit bias. All of us have biases. We need to address it. Okay, fine. I'm glad that she admits that the president of the Seattle Education Association and any other teacher, I'm glad that you're admitting that you have an implicit bias that you're not aware of. I don't want to reward you with a higher paycheck if you haven't yet figured out your racism or your sexism or your anythingism. I feel like maybe an 11.1% increase in pay after you just got a 10.5% increase in pay probably is not yet deserved if we've got a whole bunch of racist teachers out there. Or, and this is maybe, I'm down with this, give the raises to the teachers who earn it. The ones who show up every single day ready to work, who are putting in hour after hour after hour, truly dedicated to the kids. And maybe don't give it to the teacher who is constantly getting complaints from parents over how they're treating their kids, who are creating a whole bunch of kids who come out of classes not being able to pass standardized tests. Maybe treat everybody based on their merit. Unfortunately, that's not how they do things. In fact, they go ahead, these unions, and protect the worst teachers that are out there, because the longer you can keep them under contract, the more money they're able to get from them to then put into their coffers. It all comes out of the union dues. This is all a big scam. They do it every single year, and unfortunately, they're setting it up with this expectation that every single year they're going to ask for more and more money.
The sticking points are, we're here for student supports. We are supportive. If we have a stable teaching force, that is student supports. Uh-huh. So that comes through compensation. It's hard to live in Seattle right now.
Just say you want more money. I'm not going to get in the way of people asking for more money, except for my producers. Don't ever ask for more money. Other than that, I totally understand why people might ask for more money, but it doesn't mean that you are deserving of it or owed it. And what I'm scared of, because I'm assuming they're going to pass this contract, that's my assumption later today, what's to stop them from next year doing the exact same thing? They don't play the same game from a contract perspective as, say, the Seattle Police Department does, or the King County Sheriff, or the Bellevue Police Department. Those cops, when they didn't have a contract, They didn't get any cost of living adjustment for 4.5 years. They didn't decide not to show up to work, but that's what the teachers do. We've given them too much power. We've ceded away too much power. And God forbid anyone actually stand up and say, whoa, 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 let's slow our roll a little bit. Yes, teachers are heroes, blah, blah, blah. But maybe we should think about this a little bit more, sort of with a more nuanced view. But it's Seattle. It's not going to happen. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Wait, what?
So back in March, Rob Gronkowski, what's his Gronk? Is that what they call him?
Gronk.
Yeah. I did not realize that he had stepped away from the football.
He did, and he lost a lot of weight.
He's a star quarterback.
Nope.
Defensive guy.
Nope.
Offensive.
Nope. Oh, yeah. Well, okay. Kind of. Yeah. He's a tight end.
Yeah, I know.
Right. I know you know.
So I'm told that people got excited because today he was having a big press conference and folks were wondering, oh, is he going to announce his return? That he instantly regrets stepping away from the game in March, realizes, I don't have anything else I'm good at, and will come back to the game. It turns out that no, he's decided to get into the CBD oil business. CBD is something that a lot of people do not understand because it's tied to marijuana. People assume that, oh, so CBD oil, it gets you high and stuff. No, it does not. CBD does not get you high. The THC is not part of it, or if it is, it's at such a small level that you don't actually get high. He's pushing now a company that pushes out CBD products with the intent for him to get more professional sports leagues to be okay with their players using it.
Now, I'm sure you've all heard about CBD, and I was hearing about it too. Well, a few months ago, my dad introduced me to a product called CBD Medic.
It took me so long to remember this speech and memorize it. I practiced it in front of the mirror many, many days over, and now it's preventing me from sounding like a legitimate salesman for this wonderful product.
He's never been a philosopher.
That he uses every day for his back pain. He gave me some to try, and I was blown away with how well it worked. I immediately made CBD Medic part of my recovery, and now for the first time in more than a decade, I am pain-free, and that is a big deal.
Could have given it to Andrew Luck.
I take it, and you should too.
I'm here today to appeal to the sports governing bodies of the world to update their position on CBD, whether that's the NBA, MLB, or NFL. It's just time.
Well, you forgot about the MLS and maybe the NHL. But, I mean, I'm with him in that. I mean, we have to rethink the way we talk about even just not just marijuana, but all the other products around it. Whether we're talking about hemp or CBD or marijuana itself, we are so backwards, especially in the sports world when it comes to this. Especially when we're talking about sports like the NFL, like football, where players are getting severely injured and this could cut down on the pain that they're suffering through. Now, CNN made this note. They said, well, the World Anti-Doping Agency, which tests Olympic and World Cup athletes for drugs, has lifted its own prohibition on CBD. The U.S. Anti-Doping Agency warns that taking CBD products is risky for athletes because it's difficult to extract CBD from a marijuana plant without also extracting some of the other 115 cannabinoids, including THC, that are found in the plant. That is hogwash, and that is a position that, again, is not necessarily based in science, but based in preconceived notions of what CBD does. CBD, granted, a lot of the businesses out there kind of shady in the way that they market their products, and we need to have better regulation. CBD is not weed, but let's say it is weed. Let's say it's just like weed. You get high. What's the problem having a football player, after he played, to consume marijuana so he's not in so much pain as he's going through an injury or recovering after a game? I don't understand. These are elite athletes, okay? Whatever, except NHL, because they all seem just weirdly out of shape. But I mean, I know they've got strong cardio. I know,
dude,
but they kind of just look, and sometimes baseball players are a little thick.
Slow your roll.
These are elite athletes. If it turns out that marijuana is hurting what they're able to do on the field, they're not going to continue to smoke or consume it in any way, shape, or form because they understand their futures are tied to their performance on the field. They have millions and millions and millions of dollars and a career on the line If they thought it was going to actually hurt them, they wouldn't do it. I kind of trust them in this case. They're not showing up high. And then again, CBD does not get you high. I have CBD lip balm because it cuts down on inflammation. That's why my lips are so perfect.
But like old people use CBD oil to relax. It does something.
It can make you relax. You're just not getting high from THC. There are different formulas that will do that, which is kind of like chill you out a little bit, de-stress you. There's some that do the opposite, which is make you super alert. It's like any other supplement. You got to be smart about which ones you go with. But I got the little lip balm. Doesn't make me high at all.
I mean, you act like it.
But that's just my normal personality. And yes, I get the munchies all the time. But it's fine. 1-800-465-877 if you want to send me a text on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline. Don't forget, you can follow me on Instagram. Fire up that app. Search for the screen name Jason Ranch, J-S-O-N-R-A-N-T-Z. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending in the media?
So CNN announced their plans for what they're calling the unprecedented primetime focused event on climate change. And it sounds awful. And it's also not even all in prime time. And so I'm not entirely sure I understand their pitch here. But they've got 10 candidates who have qualified to do their town hall event on climate change. Now, I got the impression early on that this was actually going to be some kind of debate where you've got people on stage and they're going to be able to talk to one another. It turns out that's not what it is at all. In fact, they are doing, this is insane, a 7-hour live event where every candidate is getting about 40 minutes each in a town hall style program where people in the audience can ask their previously screened questions. That's awful. 7 hours. Who's going to watch that?
Well, and also, they're not going to disagree on anything.
I think that's why they decided not to do a full-on debate. But I don't know if giving everybody 40 minutes is any better. If no one's going to generally disagree, maybe you'll clearly have some small disagreements. You'll have some questions about individual plans coming from the person, right? Well, how much does Elizabeth Warren's plan cost? What about Bernie Sanders? Julian Castro? What do you even believe on this? Okay, you get some nuances. But let's say that there are none. I would still rather just watch them all on stage for an hour or 2 hours rather than seven individually. That's where it kind of drives. Because even the folks in the audience, do I care what Joe from Spokane, with all due respect to our friends in Spokane.
Especially Joe.
I mean, well, Joe's kind of a jerk. Do I care what he thinks about Julian Castro's approach and what specific... I'd rather just have it focused even on the anchors asking the question. People in the audience tend not to ask very good questions at these things. And mostly because it's all scripted. Someone else came up. It then you show it to a producer like, why don't you ask it this way? And so it's not even the question that they truly want to ask. And then they're reading it and it sounds like Gronkowski reading his pitch for CBD oil. Yeah.
Memorize your questions, people.
It's not that hard.
But
so, by the way, they're starting it at 3 o'clock our time. So it's not even in prime time, by the way. 3 o'clock, they're starting with Julian Castro. 5:40 is Andrew Yang. 6:20, Kamala Harris, who was, in fact, now able to attend because she originally said she couldn't. 7 p.m., these are all Eastern. So 7 p.m., 4 p.m. Our time. Amy Klobuchar. Joe Biden goes on at 5. Bernie Sanders at 5:40. Then Elizabeth Warren. Then Pete Buttigieg. And then O'Rourke and Booker. What? That's too much.
Yeah, it sounds like it would not be a ratings boon, especially
the best
if it's
tweet
seven
today,
hours long.
The best tweet today that I saw, and this is all it said, CNN tries not to get ratings ever.
Yeah.
That's and the best tweet.
It's not going to aid in the argument or the argument against climate change where, you know,
it's not.
People say people don't actually really care about climate change. This isn't going to help out.
40 minutes is entirely too long for one particular topic because they're going to try to do it without any commercials, I believe. Or maybe if there are commercials, it's limited in between. First, you got Wolf Blitzer asking his stupid questions. Then you get the audience asking their dumb questions. It feels like they could have done each of them 10 to 15 minutes. Just do a basic sort of hardball style interview. And then maybe towards the end, do a random drawing. You get five candidates on stage against each other, and then you can get into it a little bit. Because I'm assuming they're going to have to differentiate themselves from each other, right? Kamala Harris is going to try to tell us where she stands on climate change, because that's not really her brand. No one really knows where she stands on that. Elizabeth Warren's going to want to change, differentiate herself from Bernie Sanders. So what are the main differences there? Let them go at it a little bit. This is not a good deal. And, you know, do we really need Beto up there? He's going to be with Don Lemon, two of the worst, one of the worst candidates and one of the worst CNN analysts. You know who's not on there, by the way? Who do I hate the most?
Brian Stelter.
He's not on it. It's Don Lemon, Wolf Blitzer, Chris Cuomo. Oh, God.
Fredo.
Anderson. Don't say that. That's racist. Anderson Cooper and Erin Burnett. So they didn't. Erin Burnett's getting shortchanged. They're giving her Kamala Harris. So that's good. Each one is paired with like a top tier guy and a bad one, except for Anderson Cooper. He gets Bernie and Biden. But Wolf Blitzer got stuck with Andrew Yang and Julian Castro. No one cares what they say.
Yang gang.
And does really anyone care about Andrew Yang's position on global climate change?
No one cares about global climate change in general.
Well, no, voters do. The Democratic voters do. But this just sounds like a nightmare. Too bad Jay Inslee missed out.
What could he do with 40 minutes?
Oh, my God. I'd literally rather watch paint dry. And let me tell you, I've literally watched paint dry. It's not actually as bad as you think. It's actually kind of interesting because you see it going from this translucent to a hardened thing. It's actually kind of interesting.
Is that how you spend your free time?
No, friends or life. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending in the media?
So if you go on over to my blog at ktdh.com, you'll see a story about a part-time lecturer over at the University of Washington in Tacoma who decided to level a sexist smear against Q13 reporter and a friend of mine, Brandi Cruz. She just celebrated her second edition of her brand new morning show on Sundays at 9 p.m. on Q13. It's called The Divide. And she tries to take a deep dive into topics that are generally seen as divisive. And so actually, I was a guest talking with C.R. Douglas, who's a political analyst, very much down the middle, specifically about media bias against conservatives. And apparently, this part-time professor, who's a former news director, his name is Wayne Lynch, he did not like some of what he assumed Brandi Cruz was going to get into. And so he wrote a rather sexist remark on Facebook telling her that she needs to smile more, which for those of you who are wondering if it's sexist, it is, because it's usually something that is only told to female broadcasters, female journalists. Oh, you should smile more. Why don't you wear a dress that's a little bit prettier? Stop being so mean. It's something that a lot of women get, but you don't generally hear that of men. So he decided to do that. He ends up deleting that message after he got some pushback, but then he sent a rather nasty and harsh email to her. And it goes back and forth, back and forth. So she goes online on Twitter, and she calls this guy out. Lo and behold, a whole bunch of other local reporters, area reporters, some who used to be here who no longer are here, all are coming out and being like, yeah, this guy has a reputation for this. He is notorious in how he treats reporters with his critiques that no one, by the way, asked for. He could, of course, use his, because he's been doing this for a very long time. He could use this as an opportunity to teach Brandi some things that maybe she still needs to learn, although I think she's very, very accomplished. Maybe he's got some good tips that she'd be like, oh, you know, that's a good piece of advice. I'm a young broadcaster. She's just 30 years old. Thank you so much for giving me those details. I'll move along with it and do a better show. But he's just mean and nasty. And all these people came forward, which gets us wondering, is he the guy with the right temperament to teach kids at the University of Tacoma? I mean, is this the guy who you actually want teaching these kids? Now, maybe he's a great teacher, but this certainly raises some red flags. I don't want the dude to get fired, but I do want the University of Tacoma to be generally aware of how he is, at least outside of the classroom, and to make sure he's not like this inside the classroom.
And for those wondering if all University of Washington professors are like this, yeah, most of them. Most of them are. But over at Washington State University, there's professors who are nice. They'll teach a thing. But UW, they're pretty much all like that.
But you don't have a bias, by the way, as a graduate of WazOo.
No, I put that to the side for that comment.
You know what I think people should do a little bit more of in this building? Prop up Central Washington University and the Hubbard Institute.
I don't think that's very important.
Because I think they put out a lot of good students who end up becoming my producer.
Central, it's really cool, but, you know, what do they got over there?
A good broadcasting program?
I don't know.
I mean, there's that.
Do you have an opinion on that?
You know, we just got a turf football field, actually, so we're stepping it up in the world.
He's biased. He's biased. He went to Central. He's biased.
No, but they just got a turf football field. They do flag football there, right? That's awesome.
Yeah, flag football, some rugby.
Yeah.
Oh, man, watch out for those rugby Wildcats.
I hear they have a great chess team there.
He's
just
biased.
Throwing that out there. That, by the way, is my new producer, Producer Peyton. We're going to introduce him later on in the show. And we're going to say goodbye to Producer Tom. This is the long goodbye. This is his last show. He has decided to leave us to go to Austin. We scared him not just out of the building,
right,
but we scared him outside of the state. We'll get into that and so much more.
From the Online Trading Academy studio, this is AM 770 KTTH.
Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/JasonRantz. Just one word, JasonRantz. Give me a follow. And maybe from time to time, I'll give you a like or a retweet and we can become best buddies. Twitter.com/JasonRantz. Although I have to say, I hate Twitter with a very strong passion, a burning desire I have to see Twitter go under because of how just rotten pretty much everybody is all the time. Just the worst. And you know how you really know how bad Twitter is? You go on TV where about 2.2 million people are watching you at any given moment during the 3 or 4 minutes that you're on, and they don't really have anything good to say. In fact, they only have bad things to say. And I know that because last night I went on Tucker Carlson where Brian Kilmeade was guest hosting, and we were taught, and I'll play the audio of it just so you can listen, because I thought I did Seattle proud by calling out all the nonsense having to do with our quote-unquote drug culture here. I was a little annoyed after I'm getting out of the studio, going down the elevator, passing Kirsten Powers, by the way, and I did an awkward, oh, I'd like to say hello to you. She's a CNN analyst. She's a New York Post columnist who's a liberal, who I actually really like. So I'm going out, checking my Twitter. I'm realizing I'm super active because I've got, just opening my Twitter, I had 119 notifications. Turns out almost all of them were very mean-spirited about my eyebrows, which just happened to be a little dramatic. Put this on the other list. In fact, get the list. Show Peyton the list of things I hate.
Yes,
put this under why there. I hate my mother.
Yeah.
Because this is my mom's fault. It's a little bit my dad's fault, but my mom's side has the very dramatic parts of their body, like my eyebrows. And they're there. They're very there. I don't do anything to them. They're not. Have you ever seen these eyebrows any different than they are right now?
Right, but I always thought you did the same thing to them every day.
Every single day I go in and I thread through them.
A lot of people do.
Okay, but I don't. I do that with my hair. I spend lots of time on my hair. Spend no time on my eyebrows whatsoever. Mm. They're just there. Now put that into, I was in a different studio than I normally go to. It's a slightly different studio, so the lighting was a little bit different. There was a point when I turned my head, the shadow makes my eyebrow look very long, like way longer than it actually is, to the degree that when I watched it back on video later on last night, I was like, what the hell just happened? And I ran into the bathroom to look, and no, it's just bad lighting. But I'm so glad we have Twitter and email to point out how disturbing to look at my eyebrows are. Thank you so much, everybody, including this guy who said bad plastic surgery and eyebrow threading. Expect this principled conservative to be outed by Queerty any day now. Hey, dummy, I'm already out. I'm gay, you dummy. I love that. He thinks that my eyebrows are outing me. Here's another one. And I think, is this you? Okay, this wasn't you. It's just another guy who kind of...
That was not me.
Oh, no, it's a woman who looks like you. It's a good thing that Jason Rantz is a radio host. Everyone would be staring at his eyebrows if he was on TV. Oh, here's another one. Jason Rantz is on Tucker. What's up with the eyebrows? And then I tried to figure out, well, this is just so weird because we don't give out our Twitter feed on the air. You'd have to actually, you know, look me up on Twitter. Media Matters took a screenshot and they were the ones who mocked me. And that's
wow.
How it got so many people.
Now, you officially made it when Media Matters.
This is the second time Media Matters has come after me. And by the way, they still don't come after me for any content whatsoever. They didn't take issue with anything that I said. They were just mad that I have way better eyebrows than them. But then here's the worst part. We got an email. An email from a listener, from someone who likes me, who lives in Seattle. His name is Bruce. And not just, of course, to me, but it goes to all of us in the studio. So everyone gets to look at this email. Jason, enjoy you and your show, but, and that's all capitalized, but just saw the interview on Fox with Brian in for Tucker Carlson. Dude, you need to tone down the eyebrow thing. Came across as really scary. Thanks and congrats for what you do, but tone it down a bit for credibility's sake. Okay, Bruce, thank you so much for being a fan of the show. Really do appreciate it. I've been on Tucker Carlson 5 times. Confirmed it yesterday, by the way. Last night was the 5th time that I was on. Don't really need to take tips from you, okay? And by the way, why is it that all the ugly people are out there telling me that I'm gross? Look in a mirror. You people are ugly. You're all okay, ugly. Every single person.
Okay,
and I made a point to click on the avatar of every single person on Twitter who called me out. Now, some of them, of course, because they're losers, avatar of a fruit or like a dog. But all the ones who use their pictures, you should have put up a dog or a piece of fruit.
Okay, now you're no
you're
better.
Ugly.
You're no better than them. Now.
I am no better than them. I'm worse than them.
Okay, there's just one thing.
Do you know what it feels like to get hit on Twitter? Thousands of people talking about you, and all, by the way, saying eyebrows, eyebrows, eyebrows. My segment was very good.
You make fun of our appearance every day.
Because you're ugly and weird looking. That's not my fault. And I don't do it on TV or Twitter. I do it on the radio and to your face. But at least I do it directly to you.
There's one thing about that rant, pun intended,
God,
that just stands out to me. You expect us to believe you don't do anything with your eyebrows.
What do you think I do to my eyebrows?
I don't
what
know.
What do you think I do?
I don't. You
what
do
could I possibly do? They also say plastic surgery. What have I gotten done?
I don't know.
If we have a sponsor. I'm all in for that. Doctor, cut me all up. Do whatever it is you want.
Like, there's no way eyebrows are just naturally like that. Is what?
Would
I'm
you want
to
come
say.
In here and inspect them? I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
I don't.
Hey,
I don't know how. Oh my God, he's coming in here.
He's on his way. I didn't know he was an eyebrow expert.
I didn't know that either. But apparently, isn't okay. What do you see? What do you see there?
Well, I don't. I wouldn't know.
Yeah. What are you looking for?
Like. But they're very squared
they're not
off.
Fake.
They're very squared off. They're pointed at
yeah, that's
end.
Not my fault. That's my natural shape.
There's no way that's
okay, right. Get out of here. Look at your stupid eyebrows.
Good
your
riddance,
stupid
right?
Hair. It's just the worst. Good. I can't wait till it's his, today's his last day.
Oh, 20 more minutes.
Oh, my God. Okay, now that I've got that out of my system, by the way, I hate you guys all. Not the good people. Thank you for all the nice tweets that people are now sending me in texts at 1-800-465-8770. Here's my conversation with Brian Kilmeade last night on Tucker Carlson.
Jason Rantz is a Seattle radio host. He might have an idea. Jason, what do you see about this program that was lauded by this columnist?
Well, it's a program that certainly can work in certain circumstances. Unfortunately, what's happened in the Seattle area and King County in general is they don't actually prosecute people with drugs. Now, they say that they won't charge anyone who's holding up to a gram of heroin or cocaine or meth, but the truth is it's up to 3 if you talk to cops. And as a result, they're basically saying, look, we're not going to throw you in jail. We'll give you treatment if you want it. That's fantastic, except there's now no leverage from cops to actually use jail time to throw in front of them as a means to either get them into a program or, more importantly, to go after the drug dealer. And so because you're not throwing anybody in jail or letting police, you've got drug use being rampant. We've
right.
seen an increase in actual overdose deaths since this program that they talk about in the New York Times has gone into effect. And I'd argue it's because they're not actually going after the drug use.
So what they do is they like to take offenders that are homeless, that have drug issues, and put them into rehab. And they feel as though that would be more productive than putting them into prison because it's an endless cycle. However, if the Seattle Times poll works, 53% of Seattle voters now support a zero tolerance policy on homeless encampments, and 62% believe the problem is getting worse because the city wastes money by being inefficient. So you guys are throwing money at it. You're bringing rehab into it, but it's not solving it. And that column actually hurt the reality on the ground, didn't it?
Oh, well, what's ridiculous about this piece is, and you look at some of the comments in the New York Times piece, people who actually live in this area are saying, what are you talking about? Have you actually ever even visited the Seattle area? What was put there is this position where the author, it seemed, wanted to support the positions in place, the policies in place. So we look for a story that he could tell to back it up. But the reality of the situation is much different on the ground. And we live in very progressive Seattle. I'm one of like 17 conservatives who live here, right? And so the fact that so many people are upset now with the general direction of the city should be a wake-up call to these folks that it's not working and people are sick and tired of it.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, I know a lot of people watching right now have, especially when it comes to opioids, unexpectedly they're dealing with drug addiction in their family and they see if prison is just going to put an endless cycle. So we're not saying that that's a bad idea. We're just saying that to say it's working is not being accurate.
And if you want to see the full thing, we've got a little bit left. We'll end up putting it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Jason Rantz Show, if you want to watch the whole video. When we come back on the Jason Rantz Show, we're saying goodbye to an important part of our team. Once we get done with that, producer Tom will come in here and we'll also say goodbye to him. You're listening to the Jason Rantz Show. Welcome back to the Jason Rantz Show, live in the Online Trading Academy studio. Today is a day that will live in infamy. You will know where you were at 5:47 and 39 seconds on August 27th. You will know where you were when producer Tom makes the announcement that he's about to make.
Well, you kind of announced it.
That's true.
Yeah, this is my last day on KTTH. And I'm moving to Austin, Texas. That is correct.
Why would you do that? Because that seems stupid.
Jeez. Well, now that we put it that way, you know, it does sound stupid. Maybe I'll stick around.
Why Austin?
Austin, a great music scene. A lot of things to do. Just a fun place to be. Dollar goes farther in Texas. Great barbecue food.
It's
where should I stop?
Sucks also.
Gas is a
dollar. So when do you
leave? Tomorrow.
What about Peyton? He's the new producer. He's
right.
Not getting any more training. You're just leaving?
He's got it. He sounded great today.
Did I?
I mean, he doesn't sound very confident.
No, he didn't sound confident, but he should.
Okay. What are you doing there, job-wise?
Well, now you put it that way. I have an incredible job. The title is actually complicated. When the title, it's Uber driver. And it's gonna be incredible.
Where are you gonna live?
In Austin.
No, but like, do you have a place?
In a house, in it with a roof over the head. Yeah.
With roommates.
With roommates, yeah.
How many?
11.
That's not true.
That's not true.
How many roommates?
There's 3 other roommates.
Where'd you meet them? Romeo.
That's inappropriate.
Okay, Grindr. Sorry.
Grindr, exactly.
No, where'd you meet these people? How do you know that you're gonna click?
Because we talked. Had a great conversation.
Well, the good news is he knew, obviously, he was departing today. He decided to make up a song highlighting some of the most meaningful moments that we shared on air over the course of, because you've been with me for 9 months.
Yes.
And so
Get your tissues out.
Oh, my God. I'm going to just lose it.
I will remember you. Will you remember?
God, I hate you so much. You are the worst producer ever. What do I do? Oh, my God, I hate you. Oh, that's not what I expected. Oh, my God, you're the worst.
You think it's easy working for you?
Oh, you're awful at this.
Your hair is not
my
as great as you
best.
Think it is.
Okay. Push the button. Let's move on. I hope right now the earth opens up and swallows you whole. But when we ask him to come on, just remind him that we're nuts.
Do you actually think that people don't come on the show because they're afraid you're going to yell at them? Or do you think it's just you and they just don't want to talk to you?
Because I'm just like off-putting?
Yeah. And
I mean, that's also part.
Egotistical, narcissistic.
Yeah, but I
mean, all that stuff.
I own that. Should have let Todd take you. My God, I should have let Todd take you. But you know what? Todd didn't want you, and I was stuck with you.
If you haven't figured it out by now, you'll never talk Sounders on this program. Like, it will never happen. Ever. Like, never, ever, ever.
What did Harris Faulkner say?
I'm also just glad to connect with you, Jason Krantz.
Did she say Jason Krantz?
I always thought it was Jason Ranch. But if Harris Faulkner says Jason Krantz, I guess it must be.
Oh, if it means I get on Outnumbered, I'm okay with her one time screwing up my name so long as the Chiron's correct.
Well, how are they going to get in touch with you? She's going to Google
Jason Krantz.
Who's Jason Krantz? Was that a real interview?
I'm not a jerk to him. I'm a jerk to you. You know why? Because he's got talent. You know what you have? No talent!
Well, you know what the show doesn't have? Ratings.
You know what the show doesn't have? A producer right now. You're fired. Get out. That was sweet.
That was beautiful.
I don't know what I'm going to do without you other than be more productive with my day.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk to you so often.
That was very sweet. I did something sweet as well.
Uh-oh.
Because it's your last day. Everyone knows me to be a gift giver. Everyone says that the one perk working for Jason is come Christmas time or Hanukkah time, everyone gets really good gifts. I've handed out Amazon Echoes. I've given out Xboxes. I've given out AirPods. All my previous producers who actually lasted to Hanukkah and Christmas, but you didn't actually get that far.
Did that actually happen?
100%. Ask all of my producers. But look, I got you a gift. Hold on.
Okay, he's bending over.
Hey, that was a great song, by the way. I'm just going to
rewind
back to that. That was beautiful.
Oh my gosh, you actually did.
I did. So you're gonna
wait a minute.
Okay, we don't have that much time. So go ahead and hurry up. By the way, I ordered from Amazon, and there's something in there that's mine.
Oh, wow.
You'll know
okay.
It's mine.
Clothes. Awesome. A Dick's Drive-In hat. That's pretty cool. Oh,
that's from Saul Spady. He brought you a whole bunch of swag coming from... Open that one last.
Yeah,
because that's the finale.
I got to hurry up here.
Come on, hurry up.
Package. Ripped it open.
That's a goodbye gift.
Ooh, Visa gift card, $50. All right.
That's for your gas.
All right.
To drive down, but with your new car, because it's a gas guzzler, probably will only get you to scream.
Truck, Dodge, 1500, Ram.
That guy doesn't know how to open a package.
How do you open this?
Jeez, he's literally struggling. This is not that difficult.
Oh, it's cologne. No, it's not. It's candles. Washington, homesick, candles. Oh, neat.
It's a candle that smells like Washington, so it smells like urine and used needles.
Things to do in Austin before you die. All right, by Christy Owen.
Things.
I love her.
Okay, now here's the big finale, and we're expecting that you own this, you wear it with pride.
Oh,
I want you to slay. We're going to have a photo of it that we're going to post afterwards.
No. It is, oh my gosh, do I tell people what it is? It is a pink bedazzled cowboy hat.
Because you like Frederica Wilson, the congresswoman from Florida, who weirdly wears cowboy hats.
I said I like her style, I didn't like her.
You like her style.
I do like her
style. And so what did I do? I ended up buying you a bedazzled pink cowboy hat.
Wow.
It's adorable.
It's pretty great.
You don't seem that excited.
Yeah, you know, it's just so beautiful that I'm crying.
Tom, we will miss you. You've been a very good producer. You've taken a lot of abuse. You've taken a lot of my ego, and you have done it with aplomb. We're going to miss you, producer Tom. Thank you so much for all the
work. Thank you, Jason, and thanks to the KTTH listeners out there. You guys rock.
We'll stay tuned with him on Twitter, twitter.com/TomMAmato.